Good morning and Happy New Year. Man, it's so good to see so many of you here this morning. And for those of you who are visiting with us today, we want to welcome you. And again, we want to remind you that today we have something very special happening. We have a fellowship meal over in our fellowship hall. And it doesn't matter if you brought food or not. We'll have plenty for you. We just want you to stay so that we can get to know you a lot better. We also want to welcome those of you who are joining us live today. We are always glad to have you guys a part of our worship. And just know how special you are to us, and just know you are a part of our family. So thank you for tuning in as well. Man, I just got to say before we get started, Bill, thank you so much. That was wonderful. And I appreciate the elders making this change where we can give more thought as we partake of the Lord's Supper. That was wonderful. And so thank you. As you guys can see this morning, we're beginning a new series. And really, to kick off our new series this morning, I want to begin with a question. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you do. And how many of you have ever gone on a long trip with your kids? See, I already see some of you laughing, right? And you know, here's the thing. When you go on a long trip with your kids, you know that inevitably, right, there are going to be some questions that they're going to ask. Even though you have warned them over and over and over again on that trip, never to ask those questions again, right? And what are some of those questions? Are we there yet? And what? How much further? Or how much longer? And it gets to the point you just, man, it's sad to say, but you want to wrap your hands around your kid's throat, right? Because inevitably, I mean, it's almost like there is this law that the longer the trip, the sooner and the more often they are going to ask those questions. And that's bad news, right? Because here's the deal. The longer the trip, it seems like things begin to build with your kids. And before too long, right, you know, you have one who's saying, he punched me, or she slapped me, or he's physically or mentally harassing me. You know, he's looking at me. You ever heard that one? It's like, what does that even mean? Right? We're all looking at each other. But you hear all these things, and as a parent, it absolutely drives you nuts. Well, imagine going on a trip and having to say, we're not there yet, and we won't be there tomorrow, and we won't be there the day after that. In fact, we're probably not going to get there in this lifetime. Can you imagine that? And yet, here's the reality. As followers of Jesus, the Scriptures could not be more clear that we as Christians, we are not there yet. In fact, we have a long journey ahead of us as Christians, as His children, as His followers. And you say, well, Slate, how do you know? Well, look at this passage in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is going to be kind of our theme verse. We'll touch on it throughout this series. But I want you to notice what Paul says here. And I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue His work until it is finally, what, church? Finally finished. Now, don't stop there, okay? Keep reading. Finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Now, did you hear what Paul said? He said, I am not done. I am not finished with you yet. And he is saying to me, Slade, I am not finished with you yet. And Central, as a church family, listen, I am not finished with you yet. And you say, well, Slate, how do you know? Well, because the Bible says that we won't be finished until the day Jesus returns. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a guy by the name of Abraham. Now, some of you who were in my Bible class a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, you're probably like, we've already gone through Abraham. Well, guess what? You're going through it again. Because as I was telling Bill, one of our elders, I just feel like there is so much that can be said and so much that can be learned from Abraham. And so if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. While you're looking there, let me say this about Abraham. Abraham, get this, is 75 years old at this point. And here's the deal. As far as we know, he hasn't done anything significant with his life except for the fact he married a beautiful woman by the name of Sarai or Sarah. And so let's start there. Verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, and stop right there just for a second. Let me interject this. Abram means father. And what's ironic about that is Abram, later to become Abraham, is 75 years old and he doesn't have any kids. Okay, so imagine that. You're called father, but you don't have any kids. Okay, keep reading. The Lord had said to Abram, what church? Say it out loud. Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you. In other words, what God says to Abraham here is, look, I want you to leave everything that's familiar to you. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your community or your people. I want you to even leave your family, and I want you to go with me on this journey to a place where you have never been before. Now, I don't think we fully understand what a big deal this would have been for Abraham. Because you see, here's the thing. We live in such a mobile society today, right? It's kind of like the Americans who were visiting this tropical island and they had this native guide from the island that was showing them around, and he had never been off the island before, but he's showing them all the sights, and he takes them to this active volcano that was spewing smoke and fire and lava, and the Americans, some of them spoke up and said, wow, that looks like hell. And then their native guide said, man, you Americans have been everywhere. If y'all will go back, okay, on our church Facebook page, we also have a web page, we also have a podcast. You can listen to that joke again. And hopefully some of y'all will get that later. That was a good one. I'm not taking that one out. But anyway, some of you are just slow, sorry. But anyway, that's not the way it was with Abraham. Right? Abraham hadn't been everywhere. I mean, in his day and time, in his culture, you were born, you lived, you died, you were buried, and all that took place in the same place. Right? You just didn't get around that often. But here the Lord says to Abraham, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your native country, your relatives, your family, and I want to lead you to a place that I'm going to show you. Verse 2. And he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous. And I will be a blessing, and you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, I want you to notice in these two verses that there is a word that is used over and over again. Let me underline it. Do you see it? It's used some five times just in these two verses, and it's the word bless or blessing. God taps his 75-year-old man on the shoulder and he says, I am going to bless you. And you are going to be a blessing to others. And through these promises of blessings, God says three things. There's three promises that he makes here. Number one, he says, I'm going to bless you with a land to dwell in. Secondly, he says, I'm going to make you and your descendants into a great nation. And number three, he says, I am going to bless all the nations of the earth through your offspring. Now, remember, again, Abraham is 75 years old and Sarah is 65 years old as God is making these promises. And again, Abraham doesn't have any kids. But what we're going to see is over and over and over again, God is going to remind him that he is. Even in his old age, Abraham and Sarah are going to have a son. In fact, Genesis chapter 22, several chapters later, right? Verses 17 through 18. This is just one time. He says, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so God says, look, he says, I am going to give you a land. And he says, Abraham, I want you to go outside, and I want you to just look up in the sky at all the stars. Try and count them if you can. And he says, that's how many descendants I'm going to give you. And he said, let me tell you about your offspring. Through your offspring, all the earth will be, what church? Will be blessed. Listen, if you want to know how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together, this is it. If you want to know what the Jewish people have to do with Christianity, if you want to know how God made it possible for you and me to be forgiven of our sins so that we can have this new relationship with God, listen, this is it right here. God promises Abraham three things: a land, a nation, and a blessing to all people on earth. In other words, this is what God says to this 75-year-old man. He says, I am not done with you yet. Now, Abraham doesn't know how all this is going to unfold. And I'm going to kind of give you a hint. This is kind of a spoiler this morning if you don't already know. But the land that God is promising to Abraham and his descendants is the land known as Canaan or Palestine. It's what we know as the land of Israel today. The nation that God promised his descendants to become and to create through Abraham was going to be the nation of Israel. And the offspring that would come through Abraham and his wife Sarah, through which all the nations of the earth would be blessed, would eventually be Jesus, the Messiah, who God would send to save sinful people like us. And that's good news, isn't it? And here's some even better news. And this goes all the way back, right, to Abraham. This includes everyone. Notice what he says. All families of the earth will be blessed through you. All families. That means everyone. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it talks about how the people of God will be made up of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. In other words, the blessing that God is promising to Abraham here is a blessing for all and would eventually come through Jesus. And again, that is such good news. But you know, here's the thing about good news. Good news is only good to those who hear it, right? And so what that means for you and me today is that, guess what? God's not done yet with us either. He wasn't done with Abraham, even at 75 years of age, and he's not done with you and me either. And I go back, okay, just go back, if you will, to chapter 12. And, you know, God says, look, again, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your country, and I want you to leave your people, and I want you to leave your family. And I just want you to notice Abraham's response here. It says, so Abraham, what church? He departed as the Lord had instructed. Abraham's response here presents each of us, I believe, with two questions that we all need to ask ourselves. Really, we need to challenge ourselves with. Bill, this morning, as we were taking the Lord's Supper, said we need to examine ourselves. And here are two questions we need to examine ourselves with. First of all, am I following God? And really, this has more to do with who's in charge of our life. Is God in charge of our life, or is it me? Is it you? John Calvin, I love how he summarized God's call to Abraham like this. He says, what God was really saying to Abraham was, close your eyes and take my hand. Can I ask you this morning, would you be willing to close your eyes and take the hand of God and trust where He leads you? Would you be willing to surrender your life to Him? You say, well, Slade, I don't know. I mean, I want to know where I'm going first. And listen, I want to know how much it's going to cost me. And I get it. I understand that. But here's the deal. If we're really going to follow God this year, okay, there's going to come a moment where we have to say, like Abraham, God, I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm going to take your hand. And wherever you lead me this year, whatever you lead me to do, I'm in your hands. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow. You know, when I was studying this text for my Wednesday night Bible class a couple of weeks ago, I told Julie that there was something in this particular study of Abraham that I had never seen before. Abraham's story really doesn't begin in Genesis chapter 12. It begins in chapter 11 at the very end of that chapter. And this is what it says. Look at verse 31. Genesis 11, verse 31. It says, one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of what, church? Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. I'd never seen that before. I mean, or at least it just didn't make an impact on me at the time I had read that earlier. I mean, here is Abraham and his family, and they are on their way to Canaan. They are on their way to the promised land, but they only get halfway there when Terah, their father, says, no, let's just settle here. Let's just settle in Haran. Their faith journey is unfinished. Their story is unfinished. But they got to the point where they settled. And sometimes I just wonder if we're ever tempted to do the same with God ourselves, where we just kind of settle in our spiritual journey and we're like, God, this is as far as I'm going to go. And God says, but you're not to Canaan yet. And you say, but God, look, she didn't trust you, and he wasn't faithful to you. And here's the thing, guys, listen, it doesn't matter how faithful or how unfaithful anyone else is. We have to ask ourselves, listen to me, y'all look up at me. I know my grandson is beautiful, okay? But y'all look up here at me. At some point, we have to ask ourselves individually, what am I going to do? Well, my parents didn't trust God. Well, I hear what you're saying, but what are you going to do? Well, Slade, I know Christians at Central, and they don't trust God, and they're not living for God. And listen, I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing. Here's the question at the end of the day. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Because you see, here's the thing about God. God is not looking for Sunday warriors. What God is looking for is a group of people who are all in for him. He's looking for a group of people who will follow him with a complete and total commitment. And really, that's what we're doing when we give our lives to Jesus, right? We are saying to God, I am surrendering to you. Take my life, and not just on Sundays. And here's the thing that is so cool about God is he doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not willing to do himself. Let me tell you something. God is all in. He sacrificed his own son so that you and I could be saved. And the question is, are we all in? And I want to challenge us as we go in to 2023 to examine, okay, what am I going to do this year with my time and my talent and my treasure for God? I know right now there are some of you, you've told me, man, I am so excited the way things are going at Central. I mean, it just seems like God is really working and he's really moving. And listen, I'm with you. I think he is too. I think God is doing big things within our church family right now. But here's the thing. God is not going to bless us because we get excited about the mission from the sideline. God is going to bless us. He's going to bless his church when we engage in the mission. Don't settle for where you are in your faith journey. Ultimately, Abraham didn't. Again, Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed him to do. And that was even at the age of 75. God said, I am not done with you yet. And let me tell you something. God is saying to you and me, I'm not done with you yet either. And so the question is, will you close your eyes and take his hand and trust him? And then question number two, what blessing am I holding on to so tightly that it prevents God's unfinished work in me? Again, we go back to verses 2 and 3 where it talks about how God was going to bless Abraham and how he was going to be a blessing. And well, let's just look at verse 2 again. God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Let's say the underlined portion there together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. You will be a blessing to others. Hear what God is saying there. Listen, it is so clear that God has blessed us so richly. He's blessed us individually. He's blessed our families. He's blessed our congregation. We are so blessed, and the question we need to ask is, what does God intend for us to do with those blessings? Because God doesn't bless us for our own sake. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, some of you may be thinking, but Slade, I'm not really blessed. I mean, I have physical problems, and I have some financial problems. I mean, Slate, you just don't understand the problems that I have in my family. I mean, there's so many dynamics going on right now in my life. But here's the deal. Listen, understand this. God is not asking you to share what you don't have. But here's the deal. At the same time, God can't use what you don't share. And the truth of the matter is this. No matter who you are blessed in some way. And sometimes we just need to think about and pull out those blessings in our lives. Some of you are blessed with time. You're retired. And God has blessed you with some time where you can do things for others. You can do things for Him and His church. Some of you have been blessed financially. Others of you, maybe your blessings come from your health. And so, you know, if someone needs you to do something, you're healthy. You can get in there and you can help someone move or cook a meal or whatever. Or maybe some of you've just been blessed with a vehicle. And so maybe there's someone who needs a ride back and forth to the doctor or you know, some of you have just been blessed with a personality that's just so encouraging, but God has blessed you with a talent and a gift and some sort of blessing. And the question is, are we going to share those blessings? Because when we do, like Abraham, man, God can take those things and He can use them for His glory beyond our wildest imagination and dreams. Well, I know we're out of time. I've already heard someone yawn. So I will say just a few things real quickly. First of all, for those of you who are here who are watching online and you're not a Christian, just know I'm praying that this year, 2023, you will take your first step and you will give your life to Jesus. That you will say yes to His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness in your life. And let me tell you something. It will change your life. And for the better, you will be blessed. But for those of you who are Christians, let me close out like this. I want to challenge you with just a few things. First of all, I want to challenge some of you who are Christians to step out in faith. Step out in faith. In some way, and just see what God does. Maybe for you it means inviting friends and family or co-workers to worship, or maybe inviting them into your home for a personal one-on-one study with you. Maybe for you a step in faith means volunteering in some area within our congregation here or out in the community. Maybe for you a step in faith is going on a mission trip or helping someone in need. But take a step in faith. Let God use you in some way in 2023 and just see what God does. I think about Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. I love this passage where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what, church? For good. And not for disaster, to give you a what? A future. And hope." And I love this last part. "In those days when you pray," He says, "I'll listen. If you look for Me wholeheartedly, you will find Me." God's got big plans for you. Just step out in faith and let Him work in your life. And then lastly, let me say this. Ask God to keep working on you. Some of you, you've been Christians for years. Right? You've been at this for a long time, and some of you may have in your mind that, hey, you know what? God, it's time for me to retire. God, I know you may not be done with him or you may not be done with her, but I know you got to be done with me. I mean, look at how old I am. Look at how long I've been doing this. And so I'm just going to settle down here in Haran. Now, God's not done. And so keep asking him to work on you. I love the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Where Jabez cries out to the Lord, he prays to God, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my what? My territory. In other words, God, I know you're not done with me yet, and I don't want you to be done with me yet. God, enlarge my territory. God, just enlarge the areas and the opportunities that I have to be able to work for your kingdom. God, please, please use me. Because I believe whether we're 17 or 75, God wants all of us to trust him and to surrender our lives to him. And when we do, God will do more than we could ever imagine. I close out with this. Some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, why would I sacrifice all for him? And again, because he sacrificed all for us. And that should be our motivation. Right? Every Sunday when we get together and we gather around the Lord's table, man, this right here should fire us up. Thinking about what God has done for us, it should motivate us and pump us up to go out into this new week thinking to ourselves, man, what can I do for the Lord? God, use me this year. If there's someone this morning that needs to respond to the invitation, today, if there's someone who needs to take their first step, you want to put on Christ in baptism, having all your sins washed away, Acts 2, verse 38. And if you want to study more about that, I'd love to study with you. But we can baptize you today. We have a baptistry here. You may say, well, I don't have any clothes. We have clothes and towels and everything that you need for us to take care of that today. There may be some of you who may need to just say, I need more faith. God, I need you to use me this year. I've kind of settled in my faith, and I've just kind of, you know, just been going through life, just existing. And that's no existence at all, because God wants to use us. But whatever it is, if you need prayers, we'd love to pray for you. You can put prayers up here on the cross. We'll have our elders pray over those throughout the week. But if you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.